And welcome to the Hands On Gaming Podcast. It is episode 11. And with me, as always, it's Brendan and I'm Daz. So I didn't introduce myself first. How you doing, mate?
I'm doing good. Daz.
I'm doing great. Yeah, you know, waking up at 6:30 in the morning. I've still got to wake up. So, yeah. You doing well?
A few slaps there. Yeah, I'm doing good.
I really do need a few slaps.
I'm doing good. That's... just the usuals.
Yeah, keeping busy, I guess. Yeah, editing away, I'm assuming.
Editing away, yeah. Working on the 90s arcade video, so
I'm looking forward to that. Looking forward to that. Yeah. Sorry, I'm just a bit tired. I woke up this morning and this is what it felt like.
That's what I feel like before work every day.
I'm okay. I got my coffee, so I'm doing all right. Just a quick note. Thanks everybody that tuned in to the C64 episode. It did really well. It pretty much exploded. So everyone, thanks everyone again for jumping on. And we're ready to rock.
Thanks for all the guests, for all your input and all the, there were so many people, like across not only the podcast, but my video version, like there were so many guests that participated. We just like really want to thank you, all you guys, for like, just taking the time to chat about it, chat about the old C64. I think it really like made those episodes brilliant.
It did, and I think the podcast and your video, videos you could say, they go hand in hand. They work really well together. So
yeah, definitely, yeah,
yeah. So if you're a big C64 fan, I mean, what else do you want? You got all the content you need in the Hands On Gaming Podcast and 64K YouTube channel. Jeez, how's that for a bit of promotion?
That's a combo.
I'm thinking of like when you said combo, I'm thinking of like what's it called? Killer Instinct for some reason. Combo. Anyway, geez, yeah, I'm still waking up. No, but yes, so thanks for that. But we got a new episode now. So, and look, we had to do this game because there was a few people out there that just screamed for it. Mm-hmm. I wasn't the biggest fan, but. Mr. Brennan here, he loves it. So I thought, you know what? Let's just do it anyway. So the game is Brennan. What is the game?
Impossible Mission.
Yeah.
Everybody knows it. So Impossible Mission, this sucker came out in 1984. It was released by Epyx. So this came out right when Epyx were kind of changing over from their kind of strategy RPG kind of mode right into like arcade action stuff. You know, when they started releasing like Jumpman and Pit Stop and all that kind of stuff.
The good stuff.
So it was kind of the good stuff, the stuff that Epyx was really known for. Summer Games came out in 1984 as well. So it was a really good year for them. The game was designed by Dennis Caswell. He did Pit Stop 2, awesome game as well, two-player Formula One racing game. And this one was a platform action puzzle game, I guess. It's a bit of a hybrid. And you kind of play a secret agent that it goes undercover, or not undercover, infiltrates this dude's base, Alvin Atombender, and he's like some nutcase that's going to launch some nukes. So you got to go around his lair and try and piece together bits of basically key cards. You got to put together key cards, non-key cards to enter his lair to take him out. But he's broken up the key cards into like a million pieces all over, and he spread them all over his lair. And you got to find them and combine them and then, you know, get the dude. Mm-hmm. But he's also got robots that are all over the place, little Daleks, basically. And, yeah, so the game is a bit of an action game. You got to somersault around, collect these things. And then the other part of it is like a puzzle element where you got this like PDA on you and you open it up and you got to like put the puzzle pieces together, literally. What's unique about this game, I think, is that It takes place in real time. You've got 6 real time hours to complete it. You can't save the game or anything. You just have to go for it. But how it works is the time is obviously ticking down, but every time you die in the game, you lose 10 minutes. So that's the big crunch factor in the game. And also, if you use your PDA to call your base to find out if you've got enough puzzle pieces to solve something, you lose time. So you're penalized for all those little things. But overall, the game was received really well back in 1984. I think I don't think I ever read a negative review about it. Everybody I know that played it really enjoyed it. The C64 was the original platform of choice, the original one they came out. And then over the next 2 or 3 years, like just a whole bunch of other 8-bit versions also were released. And yeah, I played this. This was one of the, I probably played it about 1985, I guess. And
wow, that's
luckily
early.
Wow, yeah, oh yeah, I played it not long after I got this, my C64. The reason the biggest reason why I like this game so much is because I had a dodgy Dave version, obviously.
Yeah, of course.
But the big thing was that my friend's dad, I don't know what he did, but anyway, he managed to get the manual for the game and photocopied it for us. So
that's extra dodgy.
Where did he get this from? Like, we were in South Africa. I don't know what he did to get that, but anyway, sold his soul. But anyway, we had the instruction manual and we read it, and that makes a big difference in this game because it is a little bit difficult. It's not.
Yeah.
It is called Impossible Mission. It's not impossible because I have completed it. But just, you know, that initial factor when you using the puzzles and trying to figure everything out. So we had that and we read that, so we understood the game like really well. So that just boosted the enjoyment. I think if you never had the instructions for this game back then, it might have been like a pretty hard game to get into.
Well, that's
anyway. That's
yeah. Mm. Well, that's where I come in. I don't know if you're done with that.
There we are.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's where I come in.
Mm.
You know, this was just a game on a random disc. You know what I mean? And
exactly. Yeah.
Look, I didn't dislike it. It was fun, but I just felt like I wasn't getting anywhere. I didn't know what to do until like way years later when the game didn't matter to me. So,
yeah.
playing it now. Look, I don't dislike it. It just, I find it frustratingly hard, and that's my fault. Mm. I can't say it's a crap game because I'm not good at it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I can see a good game there, and presentation, the way, just the speech, well, in the C64 version and another one, you know, was very appealing to me when I was a kid. You know, I used to just load it up just for that, just for the speech. Yeah. I was like, this is just so cool. But yeah, I just didn't know what to do. You know, I'd press the button when I was like in the elevator section, and yeah, like you said, the PDA pops up, and it's like,
yeah,
I kind of got what was going on, but I'm like, oh, how come I'm dying, but the game's not ending. I didn't know that time was taking off, and you know, every time you die, and so knowing that, like later, made the game better. Like you said, you know, once you know once you read the instructions, it makes more sense. And the urgency, I just think you die. There was no penalty for it.
Oh no, it's pretty stressful. Like,
yeah. So, you know, look, I'll give my feelings on the game at the end of end of the show. Because it has changed. My perception has changed with this game, especially playing all the different versions.
Mm.
So, look, I've gone in with this game, you know, positively. I'm not, you know, because like I said, I wasn't excited to play this one because I didn't know what to do. So, but there's been a new appreciation for it. So, this is why I like doing this podcast. You know what I mean?
Kind of like the drop zone.
Yeah,
remember
exactly.
You were like, oh, I don't want to do that game. But at the end, you were like, this is actually... pretty good.
And I play it now. I do. I, to be honest, I mean, like playing the SNES version.
The Super Nintendo version is fantastic.
It's
right?
So much fun. You know, I actually play it a lot now. So doing this has rekindled my enthusiasm for this game. So
cool.
So we'll get started then. Which one would you like to... Do you just want to go on the 64 one straight away, seeing that's the first?
Yeah, let's do... Yeah, yeah, totally.
Okay.
Do you want me to go first, yeah?
Oh, look, if you want, I'll go first, because you've got more to say about it than me, I'm assuming.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so, look, I have to admit, nostalgia kicked in here. It was like, okay, this is cool. The present with an okay title screen, nothing special, just with the text and... Yeah. Nothing, but I just love how it just starts off with this.
Another visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever.
So yeah, that always
classic.
If that doesn't G you up, nothing will, you know. And so it starts off with the speech. The controls are dead on. They are just dead on. The character animation's amazing. And you know, it's funny, though, because I remember playing Summer Games before playing this. I'm like, why is the Summer Games guy in here?
It's the same dude.
Yeah. Where's his torch? He should have a torch.
Yeah.
You can throw it at the robots. So, there's no music in the game, but I don't think that's a bad thing. I think it's a good thing. I think the sound... You know, when you hear the footsteps or the robots, it just adds to the intensity and atmosphere.
Yeah, it does.
It's great. And don't you just love it when you fall? It's so
love
funny.
It actually it never gets old.
No, it doesn't. That actually reminds me of Beachhead 2 for some reason.
Oh, yeah. It is. I'm pretty sure it's the same sound.
You reckon,
The same sound clip. It's so close.
Yeah. It's like, Look, I'm horrible at this game and I always have been. I do get a bit bored after 10 minutes if I last that long. I can't judge the game. Like I said before, I can't say it's a bad game just because I'm not good at it. But, For what it is, I think it's well executed, and it's a really good port, even though it is the first one. It's just refined, polished. It's not, you can tell it's not rushed. There's a lot of thought put into it. It's just a polished game, you know.
Yeah.
Even though I'm definitely not that don't really know what I'm doing, it is impressive, but again, there's another bit that I used to always await whenever I went to a random room and you'd hear this.
Destroy him, my robot.
You know, it's just cool. It's just cool.
It's cool.
It is. It's really, really cool. Overall, I did enjoy playing it now, but I think it was more about the nostalgia. It just took me back.
Mm.
But, there was another thing I needed to say that I didn't write down and I can't remember what it is, but that's it for me. Brendan.
Yeah, so like I said earlier, I played this in about 1985. I got my C64 around about the end of 1984, beginning of 85. So it was like one of the first bunch of games I played. And... yeah, it's very nostalgic. Luckily, like I said earlier, we had the instructions, so me and my friend knew what to actually do in this game. What I always like about it is that the gameplay, like you say, is like really spot on, like in terms of the action element. Like you press that button, you can get those jumps to be precise, perfect. There's no delay. The game is the game is slick. It's very well presented. There's no like bugs, you know, there's no flashing sprites. There's just nothing. It's very well put together. What I also like, which you didn't mention, is that whenever you start the game, it randomizes itself.
That's and what I'm I was going to say. About, yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It doesn't randomize the actual rooms themselves, but that would be kind of lame. I don't like it when it does that. It just randomizes the map, basically. So yeah. It puts the rooms wherever. So when you're going down the elevator, you never know which room you're going to be going into. And It kind of gives the game, like, it makes it feel new each time, even though It's really not. It's just the rooms are in different places. But it's still cool. It's just it's a simple little thing, but it's good. The graphics are very simple, but they work. It isn't like overcomplicated. Mm-hmm. Like in the rooms, you can see everything perfectly. Nothing is like, you know, like overdone. It's just
clear. It's very clear. It's
clean,
precise.
Clean. Clean and precise. Even. The platforms are all like perfectly spaced, so you know, like you can even run across platforms If they're close enough together. If you know that, like, you know, if you don't know that, you would just automatically somersault, but you can actually run across them. It's like, it's very well designed.
Yeah. Like, I can't say that for some other ports.
Yeah.
I learned the hard way.
Yeah. 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 So it's, and also like you also said, the lack of music, like for a C64 game, that is usually a weird thing, like the lack of music. Yeah. But for this one, it really does work well. The drone of like the robots is just the right amount of tone that it doesn't become
perfectly
annoying.
Said. Yeah,
but it's just and you can hear like the little computer beeps in the background, and it's very light. It just gives you that atmosphere, like you inside this like high tech base. Mm-hmm. And the like you said, the footsteps when you're running outside by the elevator, it's just got that little bit of an echo. Mm-hmm. It's fantastic. It gives you the sense like you're in this like place where there's no humans left, right? It's just these robots down here. You don't hear anything else. It's like a cool atmosphere. And I love this game. Definitely in my like top 10 C64 games. I think if I didn't have the instructions for this game though, this game wouldn't even be in my like top 100. Mm-hmm. It would just be an interesting game that I played like on a disc, because I knew like, you know, the deeper element of it and how to actually do everything, it makes it so much better. So, you know, I think that's an important thing. But I did manage to finish this game back in the day, the Commodore version. I actually finished the second one before I finished this
really,
one.
Really, man? That's even more intense.
Oh, no. Yeah, the second one's way harder, but I finished it first.
It looks
nice. And
then
I went back and then I finished this one. And it's got a cool ending as well. But anyway, yeah, fantastic game. I love it.
Question. What's that room you go in and you got to play music or something? Like there's a pattern?
Why
does that happen?
It's basically a bonus room. If you can get the, you know, follow the tune or whatever, you can get the items, I guess, that you can use in the computer to disable the robots.
Oh, okay.
You can get spare ones, you know, you can hack those computers and you can select like freeze the robots or reset the elevators. The elevators and stuff like that. Yeah. You can get bonus items there. It's to your benefit to go in there and just mess around. You might get one or two extras, you know, and then you can use them in the next room. Just freeze the bots or whatever.
Yeah, because I was doing them and it was saying, I got them. And then it got to a point where it's like there was five blocks I had to do in the right order. And I did that and it didn't do anything. I'm like, why are you stopping? Give me more stuff. give it to me. And I
can't remember if there's a point where you can actually stop. As far as
probably,
I remember,
it probably
just
was.
It just keeps going on, but I don't know. I can't remember.
Yeah.
But it's like bonus items.
Oh, fair enough. Fair enough. So, overall, it was a good port. You're happy with it, obviously?
Oh, well,
it's in the top 10, so.
It's top stuff.
Yeah. Okay, well, look, you know, as I said, this is, anyway, look, this is the only one I ever played back in the day. Mm. So this is now we're going to unknown territory. I will get Amstrad CPC. Did you want to go first or you want me to?
Yeah, I can go first.
Okay.
Yeah, so this, yeah. my good. So besides the C64 version, the Wii version that was released, like, obviously many years later, is the only other one that I've ever played. So all these other ones are just, same, like, mysteries, yeah. Complete mysteries. So this one, I was, yeah, I don't even know how to talk about this one.
All right, you're going to go then? You want me to go first then? I'll go first and you can work off me, sure. All right? Because, yeah. All right, so I never played this version, like I said. So, you know, I loaded it up. I go, okay, title screen. But that's just a title screen. Let's use joystick or keyboard controls, which is nice, you know, because keyboard works with this game, I think.
Yeah.
I like the colors. I think the colors are really nice. But controls are just stiff. Sound was just flat. It was just had no life in it. It was just
nothing.
Not good. Character animation was terrible. Absolutely. Just like, there was no love put into this at all. Main character runs with his back straight. It was just awkward. It actually reminded me of Pitfall Harry.
Oh, yeah.
He's got that posture.
Yeah, yeah.
So listeners, that's probably the best way to explain it. He just looked weird. Jumping just doesn't feel right. Going up and down the elevators was the worst part. It was a chore.
Yeah.
It's like you really have to position yourself perfectly on the elevator to go up and down. It's just... This game should have been fine on the Amstrad. It doesn't need scrolling. Yeah. So there's no excuse to why this is as bad as it is. It's absolutely terrible. If I had a CPC and this is the only version that I ever played, I wouldn't even like it either. You know what I mean?
No, it's
just crap. Yeah. It's not good at all. Only thing I give it is the colors. I think the colors look nice. Choice of colors are fine, but everything else is absolutely dire. It's an absolutely terrible port. Especially after playing the C64 version, it just does not compare. It's terrible. It's just a shame. Like I said, this should have worked on the Amstrad, no problem.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm glad you kind of said that, because you know, like my experience with an Amstrad is limited, so I got to just base it off whatever I'm playing. Like, does it feel good? Whatever. This did not feel good. It's clunky to play. The animation is just bad. The animation almost feels like an Atari 2600 game. Like, it's that bad.
You are Pitfall Harry, anyway.
Yeah. Good old Pitfall Harry. Yeah. I mean, it shouldn't be this bad. Yeah. There's no reason for it. It's besides the people that just couldn't care less who were converting it. The sound is awful. It's just terrible. Obviously, there's no voices in this game. It's just a few sound effects, which I don't even know whether I'd even consider those sound effects. Yeah. But the jumping feels awkward. It doesn't feel like it. It's not smooth. It doesn't feel like you. This game is awful. Yeah. The elevator part is just annoying.
I think it's the worst part.
Exactly, you said. Yeah. It's so annoying. Overall, I wouldn't even, if you're a Spectrum owner, you're a classic Spectrum owner, and you're playing this game, then I would,
Spectrum.
If you hated it, I would be like, yep. I agree with you.
They said Spectrum. Spectrum owner.
Did I say Spectrum?
Yeah, yeah. No, Amstrad.
Force of habit.
Yeah. Nasty. Nasty. Burn.
Amstrad owner, sorry.
Yeah.
And the Amstrad deserve way more than this. It's capable of doing this game pretty well. This feels like a cheap early 80s Atari 2600 game, and not a good one, not the good Activision ones. I'm talking like down and dirty, like trashy ones.
Yeah, this is like the cheap shovelware Atari 2600 games.
You know, like those real trashy ones, like fast food and those kind of trashy games. You know, like that's what it feels like. It's made by one of those dudes. One guy.
Could totally agree. I'll talk about the ZX Spectrum. Let's talk about that one next. Okay, so the no title screen, the presentation initially is absolutely terrible. Absolutely terrible. But I was surprised once it started. I'll give it that. It was nice and colourful. Controls quite well. I really liked the animation in this. It was quite good, considering you can tell there's a little bit more love put into this than the Amstrad version. I thought the game played nicely. Sound is using the beeper, so there's no speech, and it's very minimal sound. Very minimal. But actually, the elevators were fine, but I actually think this one was okay. It's not... Look, if I had this and I hadn't played any other versions, I would play this. It's not the greatest, but it's I think it's a competent port. You know, I didn't even notice any color clash, which was nice. Oh, really?
I don't know about that. Yeah.
I didn't think it was... Well, it wasn't enough for me to really, you know, complain. I thought it was okay. The screen area did feel a bit small, from memory. It didn't feel as... It felt like a tighter area for some reason. I didn't think it was as open as the original C64 one.
I think it was like, it's almost like the Batman game where it feels a little bit zoomed in to the action.
Yeah.
Just a little bit. So you feel a little bit more claustrophobic.
Yeah. And it's strange because the ZX Spectrum can get a high resolution than C64. So it should, that shouldn't have been an issue. It's just a shame that, you know, again, they could have made this like the C64 version. You know what I mean? Yeah. With the ZX Spectrum, you know, colors and that kind of thing. Fair enough, the speech, especially because it's a 48K game. It's not a 128K game. But look, I think it's overall competent port. It's not going to win any awards, but it's a lot more playable than the Amstrad version, and a lot more playable. So, it's okay, but nothing to, you know, cheer on about or get excited. So, what was your thoughts?
I thought it was okay. It's definitely head and shoulders above their Amstrad version. Obviously, the sound is terrible, but that's to be expected.
Yeah.
The animation was okay. For me, the main character, I don't know whether you noticed this, because I used to play that James Bond game, View to a Kill, a lot. Mm-hmm. And the main character, yeah, looks like they've taken the James Bond animation, like it's almost exactly the same, and they've just put it into this game because it looks exactly like the same, even the way he runs, because it doesn't look like the C64 version at all. It's completely different.
Yeah,
but he looks like the James Bond character from View to a Kill. I just like laughed when I saw that. It just reminded me of it so much. Yeah, but it actually controls pretty well. I was playing it on a keyboard, which
me too.
Works well.
Yeah.
It plays well. There's not much. I didn't notice any lag. That's something I forgot to mention. The Amstrad one, it was very laggy. But the color clash, I thought it's not as bad as most Spectrum games, but there was a couple of rooms I went into where the robots actually disappeared into the furniture.
Oh, wow. I didn't notice that. Because
the colors were exactly the same.
Oh.
And I noticed that, like, it happened multiple times and I got fried because I didn't like I wasn't paying attention to the level above me when I was running. Mm-hmm. And when I got up there, I was like, I didn't even see any robots.
Yeah.
But they were actually crossing over into the table at the time and the colors were the same and I got fried.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the color clash is a little bit of an issue for gameplay in that sense. You got to, like, be careful. So, you know, it's a bit of an issue. But overall, this isn't like the worst port I've ever seen. It's actually, it's okay. I would rather play the C64 version. But, for a Spectrum conversion, I mean, it's decent. It's definitely not the Amstrad, that's for sure.
But Amstrad's not even the worst one, peeps. So.
No, it's not. No, Jesus.
Yeah. So I think
I'm not sure which one you think is the worst, but holy cow, there's some doozies.
Yeah. Well, okay, all right. We'll go Apple IIe next.
You go.
Okay,
so this for me is like the worst of the worst.
Yeah, I think so too.
This is a biggest piece of trash I've ever seen. They shouldn't have even bothered. Seriously, like they should have just burnt this thing. Like my notes here. They really should have burnt it. Come on. I'm looking at my notes here and my notes and all my notes says is sweet abomination. So, you know, the sound is absolutely pathetic. Yes, it's just like it's worse than the Atari 2600's version of Pac-Man, and that's saying something. The sprite flickering is horrendous. Mm-hmm. You walk into any room and everything just starts flickering like crazy. Anything that moves, it's hard to even like see what's going on. The animation is just a jerky mess, if you can even call it animation. There's no voice, obviously, so it plays really clunky. Obviously, I was playing on a keyboard because I was playing it in emulation, but it's garbage. It's just doesn't respond properly. It's like everything's delayed. The sprite flickering is happening so like rapidly, you can't even see what's going on. Mm. Yeah, this game is just the color is horrible, but
that's really
expected.
I liked the color.
Oh,
the color.
God, it looked.
Oh, listeners, you should see Brendan's face.
Sweet Lord, I hate the color. It's got that. Got that apple like pinky.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. My God. It's nostalgic.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So
you didn't like it.
This is a sweet abomination version of this game. Nobody should play this.
I'm gonna keep that sound effect permanently on this board.
You better keep that ready.
Yeah. Yes, I'm keeping that sound. That's staying with us now.
Yeah, you gotta keep that. It's awesome.
Okay. Not much of a title screen. Very bad sound. The sound was just atrocious. Colors are okay. See, I like the colors. They didn't bother me. The graphics are very much like the C64, though. They are, but with different colors. So I don't know what you were seeing. I found the graphics to be pretty much the same, but the animation is nowhere near as good as the C64. And unfortunately, the game runs very sluggish. It was just, it was very, very sluggish and slow.
Very sluggish.
But look, I'm seeing it without pretending I never played the C64 version. I think it would have been okay if that's what you had and you didn't know anything else. I don't think because of the computer's limitations, I'll give it look. So I shouldn't even said I thought that was the worst one, because I actually don't think it is. I think I'm only going on the computer's, you know, just the way that computer is. I think it did okay. It's not very good at all, but there wasn't that much stuff like this on the Apple II back in the day. So it was nice to get something different at least. I'm trying to be a bit open here. I'm trying to be a bit generous. Yes, I'm not saying what you're saying is incorrect. I think you are correct, but I'm dialing it back a little bit because of the Apple IIe's limitations.
Apple II was really more of like an RPG strategy machine.
Yeah, it couldn't handle fast.
Definitely couldn't do arcadey action stuff well.
Anything precise, jumping, no, it just doesn't work with Apple II.
I mean, that's fair enough.
Yeah. This game shouldn't really have been on this platform. It just can't handle it. But it's okay for what it is. It's not great. I wouldn't recommend playing it. But at least they tried. I feel like they tried, unlike the Amstrad version. They did try.
Yeah.
You know,
that's true.
You can tell they tried to put everything they could into this. And look,
I think the system's limits were just
too limited.
It actually just couldn't do it in the first. I don't think they could have got it working well.
I agree. So, yeah, don't waste your time, though. Do not waste your time.
Don't waste.
Okay, next one was the BBC Micro. I couldn't get it working. I did see a quick video of it. To me, it looked okay, but because I think it looked okay doesn't mean anything, because Brendan did play it. And
yeah, so, yeah, this is a real clunky version of it. The biggest problem with this game is definitely the controls. Mm-hmm. It's very, very delayed and sluggish. It kind of feels like the Amstrad one in a sense, but way, way worse. It feels a lot more delayed. And I thought it could have been emulation, but, you know, I did double check that to check out any reviews, and it seems to be the consensus. So, yeah, the somersault animation, I just had to mention this, is really bizarre. He does the somersault, and then it looks like he's going to fall over and hit his head. It's got like a weird, it's got this like weird little twitchy thing at the end where he falls forward a bit. I don't know what they were thinking. It just looks bizarre.
It'll throw you off, wouldn't it?
It throws you off. The hit detection on this game is really bad. You can do a good jump, like fairly good distance away from the bots, and you get fried. And I was like, jeez, I wasn't even near that thing. But, and the sound is terrible. This computer is really limited. I mean, if you think about it. So this is you could think of this as another case of, you know, like an Apple II. It's just, could this game even do it in the first place? I don't think it really could. I know the BBC Micro had like, it could do like wireframe graphics, like Elite, that kind of stuff. It could do it pretty well. But I don't know about this kind of game with this kind of graphics. Maybe it just couldn't do it.
I honestly think it could. I reckon it's,
you think it could?
Lazy. Yeah, I reckon it's lazy.
You think they just couldn't be bothered?
Yeah.
It is a clunky port, so yeah. I don't know who did this port, but it definitely didn't do the game justice at all.
Fail. Mm-hmm. All right. Things start getting interesting here for me.
Which version?
The Atari 7800.
Okay, yeah. Right. This is such a weird one.
It is. It's very weird. Presentation was okay. I think the game looked really nice. I liked the way it looked.
I totally agree. It was surprisingly good.
Yeah, I liked the change up in the
graphics. Robot animation, man. The robot animation is really good.
The robots look awesome in this.
They do.
Really, really good.
They changed the look of them, but the animation is so like precise.
Yeah. The main guy looks weird, I have to admit.
Yeah.
He looks very
not
strange.
Not as good as the C64.
Yeah,
no.
He looks very strange, but the controls, it's called great, but the sound.
Oh,
the
God.
Sound. Sweet now, this guy, remember this, the 7800 has the 2600 sound chip in it, and it does not do the game any favors. Now, this is what happens when you walk into a room with computers and robots, okay? Now, listeners' discretion, this might be a bit loud. So I'll give you a second maybe to turn it down a little bit. I'll try to be a bit cautious here, okay? So here we go. This is what you hear when you walk into a room with robots and you walking and the computers. What the hell is going on?
Holy moly.
That just is. Doesn't it sound like a berserk or. Yeah,
it totally sounds like berserk.
Or a shmup or something. It's. Or a commando. Grenades blowing up. And,
oh my God. It gives you like a migraine, like just being in a room for like 20 seconds.
It's so bad. I mean, talk about. You know, ambience. It's not there. There's no ambience whatsoever. It just sounds like a mess. My recommendation is, if you want to play this version, turn the sound off and load up Spotify and play some music over it.
Yeah,
because it actually, the game plays well, but the sound is just absolute trash. I don't understand. I mean, this game doesn't need much sound. They didn't have to do that.
I don't know why they went over the top with like everything. It's like just murders it.
It's just, what? Really? Come on. That's insane.
It's got that Activision.
It does.
But that Activision sound like is charming because it only usually happens once a level. But in this game, it's like it's there like every second.
And you're just standing there. You're not doing anything. That's the thing. Yeah. It's just ridiculous. Oh, anyway, look. I mean, it plays well. It's actually a good game. But the sound is just turn the sound off. It's ridiculous. They should have did what Lucas Games whatever did with Ball Blazer and put their own chip in it, put their own sound chip, because it's just really bad. Sound is just a joke.
Yeah.
Anyway, Brendan.
This was the most surprising version for me. Like, I honestly thought this was going to be the worst one, and it turned out to be like a good surprise. I actually enjoyed it. The graphics are pretty good, especially the robots, the animation, the room layout. I don't know. It's the main character's animation's like not even a patch on the C64. But besides that, it looks really good and it plays well. That's important, that's obviously. But yeah, the sound, man. Wow. I just couldn't. It's insane. Like, you go into the room and you're just like, what is going on here? You can't even like concentrate on jumping you're just getting insulted. Like,
it's true. It's like it's slapping you in the face.
You can't even concentrate. It's like so ridiculous. I've never played a game where it's done that to me before. Like, it throws you for a loop.
It's crazy. Like, yeah, it is. It's pretty
and,
nuts.
And why did they decide to do like multiple, it sounds like multiple layers of sound, but that's all just mashed on top of each other. It's just so unnecessary. They could have just done it, toned it down, and just one simple little like, you know, like the C64 version. It's just got that nice little hum in the background of computers. Yeah. They could have just done that. They just had to copy that. They didn't have to. Oh, man. It's such a pity, because the version is actually pretty good, but this just really murders it. So if you're going to play this, like Daz suggests, just like, wear some headphones and listen to some music. But
I would have preferred the ZX Spectrum sound over that.
Oh yeah, any day.
Yeah, I would have.
Because it's just that's what this game should be like when it comes to sound effects. It's minimalistic, because it just works with the atmosphere that you're trying to give to the game. So like doing this, it just sounds like you're going into a war zone.
it's shocking, actually. Jeez. All right, let's move away from that. Next one was the Sega Master System. Now, I never played this one before, and I had this in my collection on my shelf for years, and I still didn't pop it in. It was a shelf filler. It's like, why am I going to play a game that I already know what it's like on the C64, and I don't even like it that much? So I never bothered. But I found out a lot about this game, which was quite strange. Now, anyway, I loaded it up. I did loaded up the presentation. I was just going to be lazy, and I started emulating. I really loved the look of it. The sound's nice, too. Control's great. Has all the speech. I didn't record the speech. I should have, actually. I did find there isn't much room for error when jumping over robots. The hit detection's pretty spot on, I think. They have a massive hitbox, though, to a point where sometimes it's clearly... Well, this is the thing. This is where my review is a bit funny, okay? I found that if you can be clearly away from the robot and you still die, okay? I know what you found with this. So I tried this on an emulator, and I felt that it ran too fast. I thought, this doesn't feel right. So when I went on to real hardware on my actual CMR system, and my master system is actually an NTSC version from the US.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I imported mine. So it runs at 60 hertz. Game just felt as it felt buggy and fast, right? And it even froze. I go, this is very strange.
That's weird.
You know, and I'm actually using an EverDrive for this. So, but it's still no emulation, right? So anyway, I deleted the file and I downloaded another copy. So, and that didn't freeze. So maybe obviously there's something wrong with the ROM. But again, I felt that it just felt flickery and just buggy. Okay, just again, it just feels too fast. It doesn't feel right. I go, okay, you know what? I'll try Impel 50. So again, I've got an EverDrive for my Mega Drive, and now that plays my system as well.
Yeah.
So my Mega Drive can be switched between 60 hertz and 50 hertz. Okay, yeah. It's modded. So I selected the game, and I ran it in 50 hertz, and it ran like a dream. So it looks like the game. I looked it up. The game only came out in PAL territories, EU, AU, and in Brazil. So there you go.
Okay.
There you go. Mm. So make sure if you play this game, it has to be in 50 hertz, or you'll be in a lot of trouble. The game becomes broken. But look, I enjoyed it. This was actually really a surprise. I feel silly that I never played it now before.
Yeah.
Because I really did like it. It was a really, really nice version. To even say, you know what, you might kick my butt for this, I actually enjoy it more than the C64 one. I'm not saying it's a better game, but I really like how they presented it. It looks really nice. But that's if you play it how it's meant to be played on a 50 hertz machine.
Right.
Because 60 hertz, it's different. It just doesn't run well. It just runs too fast. And like I said, the hitbox is bigger. It's just buggy. Now, I tried this on emulation, and I did it on the real hardware at 60 hertz, and it just doesn't run as it should. So I reckon you might have a bit of a problem reviewing this, because I only found this out last minute. So look, overall, I think this is a great way of playing this game. If you don't want to play C64 version, this is actually quite good. So
I didn't know that, but I must have just hit a luck.
Yeah.
Because I played it through emulation, and I have it on my RetroPie. You know, like one of the many systems that are on there. And when I played it the other day, I didn't notice any like issue as far as, you know, it being buggy or anything. So I'm guessing I played the PAL version.
The visitor, stay a while. Was that faster?
No, it was pretty much the same as the C64 version.
Okay, so it must have been set at 50.
So,
had to.
Yeah. So I think I just lucked out. Yeah. I didn't have anything weird. So this version, I think it's really, really good. It's great. It's almost as cool as the C64 one. I would say it's if you're going to play another one, you know, a console version anyway, it's fantastic. It's love the graphics. Yeah. It looks really good. I like the detail and everything. There's a lot of detail in the robots and everything. I like that kind of black outline they have over all the animation. It makes it look a little bit more cartoony. Mm-hmm. I usually don't like that look, but I don't know. It looks pretty cool in this one. The animation on the main character is spot on. That actually somebody put the effort in there. It's exactly like the C64 one, and it played well. It was very responsive. I notice. I mean, I guess I was playing the PAL version, so I didn't notice any weirdness by dying randomly and stuff like
it's
that.
It's night and day, dude. It's night and day. It's strange.
Yeah. It worked good. The sound effects, the ambient sound effects are good. It's just the right amount of, tone that it doesn't get annoying. It has a little bit of a music score at the beginning, I think, on the title screen, which was decent, you know, typical.
And US Gold. US Gold did this. Now, US Gold, yeah. And it's good.
Well, US Gold, you know.
They were hitting
me. They were like all over the place, so you never really knew. Obviously, when they worked with Tiertex, it went all to hell. But, you know, the other stuff is, you know, it could be good. It wasn't all bad. But I really like this version. I think it's definitely a one I'd recommend to somebody to play. It's very slick.
Totally.
They actually put the effort into it. And the one thing I must mention though is the cover for this game. It always makes me laugh.
It's terrible, isn't it?
It's terrible, man. It's one of the worst covers. The guy somersaulting, like all the weird animation on the cover. It just looks awkward. I don't know who like. If you're going to make a cover, you've got to get somebody that actually knows how to draw.
Hey, you know what's funny? It's got a big US Gold at the top of it, too. Like, it's a good. It's good that it's made by US Gold. It's like, well, I probably wouldn't have put that there.
Well. So this version is, awesome. I like it.
Yeah, they did really well. I was quite happy with it. Yep. I wonder, I should have checked who actually. Oh, but it's actually developed by Epix. There you go.
Oh, it was?
So there's some love in there. There was some love.
Oh, well, that explains everything.
Yeah.
That's pretty weird because Epix are a US company. Why would they make it only for PAL? Strange.
Well, there was some Japanese game made that only came out in Europe on the Master System. Like Kid in Shinobi World. That's not out anywhere else.
Yeah, that's some odd choices. Like, as to what region got what.
Well, being from Australia, Master System was massive here, dude. It was massive. It was massive here in Australia, Brazil, and Europe. It was. The NES was popular here, but the Master System destroyed it.
Yeah.
So we were lucky here.
Mm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, so there you go. Lucky last, the new version, you could say, or it's a remake,
sort of. Yeah, it is
sort of.
It's a bit of a
thing. We thought it was worth mentioning.
Yeah, we have to mention it.
There's a version that came out on the Nintendo DS, PS2, and the Wii. It was a budget release. It wasn't.
Yeah.
It was just a really cheap. But
came out on the Switch also recently.
I did too. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
It's actually quite good. I'll give a quick rundown. I reviewed the Nintendo DS version. I have played the others years ago. What year did it come out?
2008 or something, I want to say, but geez, it could have been way before
and
that.
And it was developed by System 3. Came out on the PSP as well.
Oh, yeah, PSP, yeah.
Yeah. Where are we? Why can't I find a year?
I think they all came out at different times, though. It definitely wasn't all at once. As far as I remember.
Probably PS2 version probably would have been the first one, I reckon.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, wow. I went on System 3 website to check it out. This content requires Macromedia Flash Player. That won't even load. System 3, you need to update your browser. Wow. That's insane. That's crazy. Anyway, all right, I'll get started with it. DS version obviously has two screens, which is great. The top screen is the gameplay. The bottom screen is like your map and that kind of thing. Great presentation, great sound. To me, it plays like the original, and it has three modes. You've got new, which is updated graphics of everything, characters and all that. Then you can play the original graphics, which is cool. And then there's a mixed version. So you've got like the new backgrounds, but the characters from the original. So that's cool. Also, there are three different characters to choose from. Some male, you can pick a male who looks like Neo from Neo. The Matrix.
Such a blatant clip art rip.
Yeah. There's a female and then there's a robot. But I found that they all seem to do the same thing. I don't think there was any difference.
I didn't find any difference.
It was just a different skin. That was pretty much it. All the speech was there from what I could tell. It was just redone. Mm-hmm. I really like this. This is a nice little throwback, I think. And it's done really well. System 3 did really well with this. It's not so much an update that it just changes everything.
Yeah.
I think they just added a few little bits, like the characters and, you know, just the different kind of graphic styles that are mixed together. It's nice. You can tell it's more of a homage to the original, and I think they did a great job. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I found it a bit of a mixed bag. Okay. I played the Wii version, though, so it has Wii controls where they try to force stupid things on you.
Oh, I like movement.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Oh,
anyway, there's different modes you can choose, but the controls on the Wii are really all over the place. So the good thing about this is I really like the new mode, like the new look, you know, mm-hmm. like kind of the updated graphics and all that. You got the three characters, which just make me laugh every time I look at them, like Neo, and you got this woman that blatantly looks like a female wrestler. I just can't think of her name. I think they took clip art from that as well. I'm surprised they didn't get sued. But anyway, the robot looks like the freaking robot from Alien Storm.
I was going to say that. Yes. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. You're right. Yes.
I think they just ripped off three characters. Yeah. Didn't even and called it a day. But so that version of it, the new one, it actually is pretty cool. It plays well. It's simple. It does what the original does. Everything, the animation's great. Sound is good. I like it. The other two versions, they seem a little bit pointless to me. What's called the C64 version, I think. That's not even the C64 version. I don't know what the hell they were doing. It's blatantly not it. It's horrible. It is absolutely horrible. Like the graphics, it looks like they've taken a bunch of literally taken clip art and just pasted it on something. It's weird.
Okay, well, it must look different on the DS because it's a smaller screen.
Yeah,
so.
Dude, it looks horrible, and I don't understand why. Why didn't they just emulate it?
Yeah.
On the disc. I mean, I don't understand the reason. Like, they actually completely remade it, but it's just strange. And it's got all the new game sound instead of the C64 game sound as well, which makes it even more bizarre.
So is that the classic version on there?
Yeah, the classic. It's horrible. It's not the it even says on the back of the box, because I got the original, yeah.
Okay.
It says C64 version included. It's not the C64 version. It's not even close to it. It's like some unholy mutation.
Unholy. But,
and the other version, I don't know. Just
is that what you were doing when you played it? Were you shaking your fist in the air?
I was like saying, destroy him, my robots.
I love it. But, I'm sorry. I just love it. It's so stupid. Yeah.
And that other dumb version that they got on there where it's just like, it's supposed to be putting the Commodore character over into the new graphics, but they still use the clip art weird one. So it's not even the Commodore character in there. It just makes it completely pointless.
Yeah.
I'm doing here?
Yeah, I just play the new version. That's it. There's no point. Yeah, doing that. I'll just play the.
But anyway, if you play that, if you just play the new version, it's pretty cool. And like you said, also, it was a budget game. I even remember buying this brand new for really cheap in the shop because it was like a budget game.
Yeah.
So it is what you get. It's like a old Codemasters thing, you know, like a £1.99 deal.
Yeah.
So you get what you get. But just don't play the other versions. And if anybody says that's the C64 version on there, that's a load of nonsense. It's not even close. Yeah. Die. Die.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Ooh, well, there you go.
Wow.
You know what? I came out of this appreciating the game more. So there you go. I might actually play the Master System version and see how I go on 50 hertz.
That's a really good one.
So that was that really threw me back. And I couldn't find anything online regarding this. I mean the odds of it just happening on one thing is like fair enough, but two things, like two different systems, and they acted similar but differently. For that, it was just buggy on both. So and again, I did change the ROMs and that kind of thing. So, but the game just does not play right in 60 hertz. It's quite strange because I haven't experienced anything like that before. But with a Master System game, anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, you know that's weird.
Because if you chuck on, for example, I'm digressing here. Like, for example, Sonic the Hedgehog, right, on the Mega Drive. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We grew up here on with 50 hertz PAL, right?
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah.
Was yours?
Yeah.
50? Yeah.
Yeah.
This is fine. This plays great. And then when you play the 60 hertz version, it's like, wow, look how slow we played this game. You hear it in the music.
So
now I play the 50 hertz. If I play it in 50 hertz, it's like, this is terrible. I can't play Sonic in 50 hertz. So, it's some games need that kick up the butt. This doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. So, yeah. And the same with Commodore 64 games in general. Run them at 60 hertz. They run terrible.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Because a lot of companies didn't convert them properly for the US market, so they played things faster.
Yeah, US Gold were famous for that. They actually didn't bother doing the conversion thing. They just shipped their games across.
Well, there you go. This just proves it.
Yeah, that's another example.
Yeah.
There's a lot of games like that.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to ask you now, don't say C64. Let's just pretend that didn't exist, okay? Which one was your favorite version besides the C64? Because I think it's only fair because...
Yeah.
It's
the C64 is obviously the best version, but besides...
And that's...
The Master System. Yeah.
And what he said there, that is the best one. Yes, I agree as well, but it's not coming from a rose-tinted glasses. This is actually
that is actually the best version.
It is the best version. It's original and it works. So
we're not
trying to
come out. It's the one that has every aspect of it works perfectly.
Yeah,
all these other ones have just things that have got issues, but the Master System was very surprising to me. And I'm not saying that because I suspected it to be bad. I wasn't expecting it to be as good as it is.
Yeah.
That's as simple as that. I just liked everything about it. Everything. Graphics, everything. Music, not music, sound effects, gameplay. Just great.
Yeah.
Great game.
Great.
So
great,
that would definitely be the best for me.
I totally agree. I'm with you on that as well.
The worst?
Worst or... Well, look, I didn't play the... BBC Micro. You know what? I'm going to give it to the Amstrad because I think that computer could have did better. That's what I think. Look, if the Atari 7800 version didn't play well, I would have gave it to that because of the sound. Mm. But the Amstrad version is nothing. There's no redeeming features for me on that at all. You?
The Amstrad... I would say the Apple II one was the worst for me, although I agree that the Amstrad one just had no effort put into it. But the Apple one is just abysmal.
Fair enough.
It's just abysmal on all levels. And like we said, it's, you know, that machine just wasn't built for arcade games, or at least that style of arcade game.
It's not. It's not
too much for it.
It's not at all.
They shouldn't have bothered.
No. Well, look, I reviewed Bad Dudes Dragon Ninja on that
Oh, yeah?
in Arcade Perfect podcast. Oh, my God. It's the Apple IIe is not made for arcade games. It's just not made for it. I can't
even imagine what that looks like.
It was really just, yeah. Trust me, me and Tagster did a lot. Yeah. We dug deep.
I don't even know why they would have even bothered trying to put that on that system. Wow.
Terrible. Absolutely terrible. Just listeners too, if you want, I'm sneaking this in, but yeah, if you like this format, what me and Brendan do, Brendan and I, sorry, that was rude of me. You can listen to the Arcade Perfect podcast. It's pretty much this, but arcade games. So if you want, if you get bored waiting
stuff
for us, jump onto Spotify and look for Arcade Perfect podcast. So yeah,
very cool.
Yeah. There's a, it's pretty much the same format, but, We just look at obviously just home ports of stuff. Mm. Nothing that's from the arcade, but you never know. We might sneak an arcade game in one day.
Yeah, maybe.
There are a few games that we didn't, me and Tags, I didn't look at that I'd like to look at here. So
yeah, we should give it a go.
Yeah. You know what? Well, I think
there's no limits on this show. No, we haven't really set any limits. We just
There is no limits. Yeah. Well, I might have to ask Tagster for permission for the trademark because he gets very angry. Not Tag. Sorry, Tag. I'm only staring. Love you, mate. Okay, so that's it. We're done.
Yeah.
Cool. I'll say our thank yous. Thank you, everyone, for listening in. It's greatly appreciated. Thank you to Gary Arnott, as usual, for doing our little logos for the podcast. Thank you to Jerome Tell, as always, for letting us use his music for the intro and outro. And, there you go. We hope you enjoyed this one. You got any thank yous or shout outs? Any of your videos coming out? Do you want to?
I just want to let anybody know that's listening to this, like now, you know, while it's fresh off the press. I'm just, I put out a lot of big videos recently, so I'm just, kind of building up my back catalog of videos again. So in beginning of June, it's just going to be an onslaught. My usual onslaught of videos will continue. So I've already made a whole ton of cool ones. So, you know, get ready for it. A lot of good, C64 and arcade videos in there. So if you like that kind of stuff, some good old DOS stuff also. So nice big mix. Yeah. So yeah, get ready for June. Whole bunch of new awesome stuff coming.
Nice one. Okay, also a nice big shout out to John Ebbs, who hasn't stopped harassing me about this episode. So
John Ebbs harasses me all the time on my YouTube channel and my Facebook page and everything about, dude, when you make an impossible mission. He bugs me all the time. So this is for you, Ebbs.
It's for you. This is for Ebbs, mate. Just a big thank you for supporting us, you know, especially supporting the stuff I've done in the past as well. You've been amazing. So we appreciate it. We're only kidding.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. So with that, remember next episode is a ZX Spectrum episode. So it's a 40th anniversary for that. So hopefully we give you Specky fans a bit of love and respect to the machine. So we're not going in as professionals in this field. We've asked many people to contribute to this, like the C64 one. So really it's a beginner's guide, if anything, especially for us. You know, I've had experience with the ZX Spectrum. I did own a 128 Plus. Brendan hasn't, so it's gonna be a big history lesson for him too. And we've got a few guests, so we're looking forward to that one. So a lot from the UK because it's obviously a UK machine, and Yeah, and we're going to be playing their recommendations. So this is going to be very interesting. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, this is going to be like probably the most interesting episode, at least for us.
Yeah,
because we're like out of our element, but still we're going to like, you know, it's going to be interesting.
It is. It
like
is.
It's almost like playing like new games that I've never played before.
It will be so, for me. It will be for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's going to be like a. I think it's going to be a really interesting look at a spectrum, especially considering like it's the 40th anniversary also, but it's a look from people that have never played it. But also we got the guests that grew up with it. Mm-hmm. So I think it's going to be a nice balanced mixture. So it'll definitely be the most interesting one.
Yes, it
you
would.
Probably ever listen
it
to.
It would. It would. So we're looking forward to that. I've been working on that for the last few weeks. And like I said, we've had some, a lot of, people joining in, sending in their audio. So thank you to everyone that's done that. We shall release the names when we release the episode. So that's it. Thank you again. We hope you enjoyed the show. And everyone take care. Stay safe. Bye.
Cheers.